Down at Third Man, the cricket podcast, talking all things cricket, from club cricket to million-pound franchises to the Test Match Arena, proudly supported by Woodstock Cricket.
Good evening, Happy New Year, and welcome back to Down at Third Man podcast. England are currently unbeaten this year. I think that's about the only positive I can really start with tonight. It's been a bad couple of weeks for England, bad couple of weeks for English cricket. So we're here to chat about it and, well, probably do a lot of moaning, but hey, that's what podcasts are for, isn't it, when it comes to sport, I'm pretty sure. As always, big shout out to Woodstock, who continue to support us, and Cardiac Risk and the Young, our charity partner. Seen some great stuff posted by them over the last couple of weeks about all the things they did in 2021 despite COVID. So go and check them out, go and donate to them. And a little shout out tonight as well for Third Man Brewing down on the Isle of Wight in Ryde. Sorted us out a few beers, put a donation into Cardiac Risk and the Young and had one or that. So big shout out to them. And they were nice beers, I must add. Lovely little tipple. Right, so tonight with me at the moment, because, well, Gina promised he'd be on. She said she was going to make him come on, but hey, how are you into you still? And I don't even know where Jono is. I'm guessing first day back's maybe been a bit too much for him. But we've got with me Si. How are we, Si? Good Christmas?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks. Yeah, good Christmas to yourself?
Yeah, good Christmas. I mean, had beer, ate food, got presents. What more can you want?
Perfect.
Well, the veil to play would have been nice, but I'm sure someone else will be more upset about that than me because I wasn't able to go any of the games anyway. Mountie, how are we?
All right, mate. Yeah, not bad. Yeah, wasn't that upset because I was isolated for two of them, and so I missed those.
Yes.
I would just be more annoyed that I couldn't go, I think.
Yeah, fair point. Right then, I guess it's only right we go straight into the Ashes. And well, the headline is we quarantined for 14 days, we lost it in 12. Impressive, as I guess one way of looking at it. Diabolical is another way of looking at it. We got absolutely dicked in reality, didn't we, in the Boxing Day test? I think that's fair to say. I mean, the more I look at it, the more stupid it sounds. I mean, yeah, 185 all out is shit. Like, don't get me wrong, it's crap. And Root hit 50 of them, Bairstow 35, Stokes 25. And I forgot that, to be fair, Ollie Robinson hit 22 of them, which shows you how poor the rest of them were. But then Australia were 267 all out. They only had a lead of, what was it, 80-odd? It's not a massive lead, but, fucking hell, well, in the end, it turned out to be a massive lead. I mean, let's say 267 all out, Jimmy got a forfeit, couple for Robinson and Wood. But then fucking England, I mean, 68 all out, with 28 of them being Joe Root. Stokes 11, the only other person into double figures. I mean, Boland on debut 6 for 7. I don't even think he's that good, but hey ho. I'm going to go to Mountie first because, I mean, to be fair to Zach Crawley, I'm looking here. I mean, he got 12 and he got 5. So, I mean, it's 17 runs. He actually isn't the worst in there, but Mountie, talk us through England's, well, I was going to say England's batting, but lack of batting.
I think that's what we've been saying, isn't it? Whilst they may be the best players we've got out there, they're not good enough.
Yeah,
and that's all there is to it. You know, it's become apparent that they're not good enough. And even if you said, oh, well, Cummings will miss a test, Hazelwood will miss two tests at least. I don't think he's even in the squad for.
I don't think he's in the field even, huh?
And yet we still can't muster 300 in innings.
we can't muster 300 across two innings, mate. I mean, that's the issue.
No, in the last one. We couldn't even do that. So, poor effort. I think there'll be 4 or 5. New ones in the West Indies. I think that Yates will go. I hope Bohannon gets to go. He looks a useful player at Lancs. And I'm sure there's various others around the counties who I haven't seen because I don't see much for their cricket anymore.
Si, what what were your thoughts on it? I know you said you watched a little bit of it and sort of woke up on that last day expecting to see at 4 a.m. as still going, but what a fool you made yourself look there, mate, because we barely lasted, was it about an hour or so?
Long finished by the time I got around to checking out. Yeah, absolutely atrocious, wasn't it? The batting just simply isn't good enough, is it? They're so reliant on Root. They're even reliant on Milan, who's, what, averaging 30. It, compared to the rest, it looks almost spectacular, but for anybody else, it's not particularly. And yeah, you're relying on two batsmen. You might as well be starting two wickets down, because it doesn't seem to matter which combination of the three you have opening up, whether it's Burns, Hamid or Crawley. You're two down with 20 on the board at best, as it is. Butler has struggled in the series, apart from that one marathon innings before he kicked his stumps over. Stokes, he's just turned into some kind of blocker. It's just not his game at all. And seeing him in India hitting the ball around, seeing the highlights of him in South Africa smashing it all over the place, he just seems a shadow of his former self with the bat. And then quite a long tail, which if they get some play in this next test is going to be even longer with Robinson, who, like you say, got 22, going out, and Broad, who is a shadow of his former self with the bat, coming in to replace him. So it just looks like if they haven't got if Root or Milan don't hit tons or close to tons, they don't look like posting even close to 200. Just pretty horrendous, really.
So the be-all and end-all is we're still shit. So I'm going to sort of skip over. I think we all know where it's gone wrong. I think we've all spoke about quite a lot about what needs to change in terms of probably sort of the setup of English cricket. So I'm just going to go straight into it. Who should be sacked and who should be brought in to try and turn this around? Both players, captaincy, coaches. I'm even going to go directors. I mean, Tom Avison seems to be dodging bullets left, right, and centre currently. I mean, Mounty, what if you were the man with the power, where would you be going with that power?
Well, you say who should be sacked. Well,
is nobody, it easy to say you shouldn't?
nobody can be disappointed, can they? I mean, Root keeps his place as a player. Does he keep it as a captain? If he does, it's only by default virtue of there being nobody else. Silverwood, I think, is gone. I think it'll be a split. Back to being a split coach. People are saying Kirsten, got a decent track record, and then probably a mixture of Collingwood and Morgan doing the one-day stuff. In terms of players, sack all of them, other than Root.
That's to the point.
I don't think anybody can be disappointed. Milan, it seems to have a good record in Australia and just about nowhere else.
yeah, true.
Stokes looks like he's been rushed back. Anderson and Broad, I think, have probably passed it, certainly away from home. Robinson looks fine. I'd persevere with him. Rest of them, don't really care. Get them all out.
Fair enough. I can't argue. That's the thing. I'd love to throw up an argument, but we're shit. So, Si, any disagreement or anyone else you want to throw out the door or anyone you particularly want to bring in?
Mounty hasn't left me many options and many more people to chuck out the door, but like you said before, you can't disagree with him. Silverwood, just that interview was damning, where he was talking about positives from it. There were no positives. It was absolutely dreadful. He's got to go for me. Root, again, I think he's a brilliant player. He seems a really decent bloke as well. There's so many things that I'm reading on social media of how much time he's got for the locals and how much of a truly great bloke he is. And that's brilliant. He's going to be the best batsman possibly that we've ever produced. But he needs to focus completely on his batting. For me, I would bring in Burns as captain. I think he just done a decent job as captain for Surrey. Yeah, his batting's not particularly brilliant at the top of the order, but it's no worse than Hamid and Crawley. I think he's been marginally the best of a bad bunch, which says an awful lot considering he got out first ball of the series. So that's what I do. And again, I think it's going to be a split job, like Mounty said, between probably a Collingwood and Morgan with the one-day stuff and Kirsten with the test match stuff. But I don't think it's going to be a change overnight, change the coaches and everything's fine. I think it's probably the best squad that we could probably have sent to Australia. That's a depressing thing. A couple of injuries to Stone and Archer, but the players that we've got are just not good enough. You're going to be, for me, replacing mediocre players with slightly more mediocre players. So I think it's going to be a bit of long-term pain, well, short-term pain for a long-term game. We need to completely change the restructure in and hopefully aim towards a decent test side in 2 or 3 years' time, but it's just not going to happen overnight.
No. I think as much as I don't think the coach or captain's helping, as you say, I think at the same time, we're just not strong enough anyway to genuinely compete. I think you look at the amount of coaches though we do have on these tours and you do wonder what the fuck they're doing. I mean, and like Graham Forbes talking about all these batting issues and I'm thinking, but yeah, you're the coach. I mean, I struggle to see the logic of a coach coming out and telling you how bad they are and all these faults you've got after he's worked with them for a couple of years. Hey, at some point, you've got to turn around and say, you can't come out and just keep saying that about them. Don't get me wrong, they're not good enough, but you can't keep blaming them if you're the one who's meant to be improving them to an extent. I think there's lots and lots of things that need change. I know Freddie Wild from CricViz put on about what the stats show that from the county championship down to when they move up to test cricket, it's the biggest drop-off compared to other countries, talking about how we don't use sort of the Lions well enough or enough. That's where India are better than us. Saying that actually playing county cricket in the early season isn't actually a problem. The problem occurs all year round and it's just as bad in the midsummer. It's because that's how we make pitches. We make pitches to suit the Darren Stevens, not to suit the batsman, not to suit an Ollie Stone or a Jofra Archer even. And so, yeah, I think there's lots that needs change and I'm glad it's not my job to try and sort it all, I'll be totally honest. Taking a little bit of a different look at it, obviously still got two tests left, although I know it's looking like it's going to piss it down for the next one. But do you think there's anything we could learn from these next two tests that is worth us trying out or anyone worth having been given the two tests just to see? Mounty, I'll let you straight away tell me that it's not worth giving Zach Crawley either of them tests.
Well, Zach Crawley thinks it's worth giving Zach Crawley these two tests. So.
I'm not surprised, to be fair.
No, and in fairness to him, I know it was a daft interview he gave, but what's he meant to say?
Well, yeah.
He either says, I think I can do it, or I think I'm crap. There doesn't seem to be much to say between the two stools there. So, he went for the marginally less ridiculous option. But what can we try? Well, we've tried most things, given we can't, unless we bring in lads from the Big Bash, but it sounds like that's COVID central now.
Yeah, it does. It's rife.
So whether you can parachute them in from the isolation or whatever. I don't know how the rules
work.
I'm sure that somebody somewhere must have thought of it and come up with a good reason why they can't.
You'd think so.
I'd have given Mahmood a call if you could do that, just to see somebody with a yard more pace than anybody other than Wood. But yeah, batting wise, no good, whoever we pick. And if you're not making 450 in Australia, you're not winning.
No, sadly.
Rely on Root getting 200 of them.
250 of them.
Yeah.
Anything you'd want to try out, Si? Anything you think we can learn from these two tests? Or do we just write them off and say, we'll see you in the West Indies?
Well, a bit like you were saying before, we don't utilise the Lions enough. I'd read an article today about Dan Lawrence averaging 90 or something for the Lions last time he came to Australia. Well, if that's the case and he clearly can play in Australia, why is he not playing this test or the next test? What are we learning from having Johnny Bairstow batting at six? We know what Johnny Bairstow can offer. we might as well give Dan Lawrence a go. That's all I would do. And I'm not saying Dan Lawrence is the saviour and he's going to have an amazing test career for England, but surely giving him two tests in Australia, somewhere where he's proven he can score runs, is a better idea than playing Johnny Bairstow.
I mean, I agree. I personally, Dan Lawrence would have been my choice at number six at the start of the series anyway, just based on the fact he had a good record in Australia, and I can't bring myself to watch Bairstow again. As much as I love Bairstow, can we just give up on it? Please, Lord, give up on it. The ship has sailed big time, hasn't it?
I think he averages something like five in the last 4 years against balls that would have hit the stumps or something.
And turns out bowlers try and hit them three big wooden things occasionally as well.
Well, yeah.
Maybe not Lalo, but I mean, plenty of other bowlers try to. And yeah, I'm still can't believe, well, Ollie Pope can't bat against spin. He can look that good at times, especially if you watch him in the county championship where he's averaging 100 at the Oval, and then you think, wow, what a player. And then, you know, I'd fancy my chances bowling some real shit right pies down at him and getting him out, because he just doesn't look like he has a clue when someone spins the ball at him, which really bewilders me for a player of his standard. But yeah, I'd like to see Lawrence in. I can't believe we can do this, but quick one, how good do you think the Aussies actually are, or are they still the third best team and they're just showing how shit we are in reality, so?
I think bowling-wise, to be fair, I think they're very good. They're very good when they've got their first-choice bowling attack available. The embarrassing thing for us is, like you were saying before, Cummins missing a test, Hazelwood missing three tests, and we're still getting absolutely trounced. The likes of Jai Richardson and Bolland are okay bowlers, but they're not fantastic. But the main attack is very, very strong. It's as strong as a bowling attack that we've seen in the last 10 to 15 years as a unit. They hit that line and length more often than any other bowling attack in recent times. So yes, as a bowling attack, really strong. Lions up there with some of the better, well, probably some of the best spin bowlers that we've seen in Australia, minus Shane Warne. Nobody else can seem to bowl spin in Australia. So yeah, it's a very good bowling attack. I think three of the top four is very strong in Warner and Labuschagne and Smith. But I think they're a bit short on runs elsewhere. Harris hasn't scored many. He got that 70, but nothing else in the other two test matches. And Head struggled a little bit, minus the first test. And then Cameron Green and Carey haven't really scored any runs between themselves. They're a little bit reliant on Cummins or Stark hitting a 20 and a 30 down the order, which is something that we've missed out on since having dropping Wopes and now dropping Robinson. I feel like with England's batting lineup, it's just going to fall like a pack of cards if they get the opportunity, because as soon as Root's gone, it's going to open up an end, and then you're a Jack Leach at eight or a Wood at eight, whoever you go for there. So yeah, I think they're a very strong outfit. I don't think they are the perfect team. We've got everything covered, but I think they're pretty good. I think they're comfortably the second best team in the world to India, and I think they would probably, if they were to play India again at home, I think they would beat them. I think India would win in India, though.
New Zealand are fuming. Mounty, what do you think?
They can't beat Bangladesh.
Yeah, true. Not yet, anyway.
I'm just considering how we've got to the stage where we've got a choice of Jack Leach or Mark Wood back at number eight in a test match.
Oh, fucking joyous, isn't it?
Was it 1999 when we had Tupnell, Caddick, Mullally and Giddings? I mean, this must be nearly as bad as that, particularly when you haven't got a top seven really to speak of above it.
Yeah, we haven't got much, have we?
No, we haven't. But yeah, Australia are a decent side. They're not by any means the greatest Australian side ever, but they'll win most of their home series. They'll be probably two-thirds of the teams in the world away from home. I think they'd struggle in India. I think they'd struggle in Pakistan, probably struggle in New Zealand. Might struggle against us in England on the basis they don't have a great record over here.
Fair, yeah. I think you're pretty right. Right, I'm going to leave the Ashes because I'll be honest with you, I'm depressed. So you've all depressed me out. So there has been some other international cricket going on. First of all, as I mentioned, New Zealand, Bangladesh. Quite a surprising one, really. New Zealand started off at a canter looking good. Devon Conway, 122. Will Young got 52. Ross Taylor got 31. He was announced also that he's going to be retiring after the series. And Henry Nicholls, 75. And then it all just fell apart. Obviously missing Kane Williamson, but it fell apart. And they were at 328 all out, which still looked an okay score. But then Bangladesh, fair play, 458 for 10. No one actually making a ton there, just lots of 70s, 60s, 80s to get them right up there. And then New Zealand struggling. Again, 69 from Will Young, and Ross Taylor's currently 37 not out. But there's been two ducks, one for Henry Nicholls, one for Tom Blundell. They're currently 147 for 5. Ravindra's in. They're into the tail. They only lead by 17 runs with 5 wickets left. Or Bangladesh about to pull off an almighty shocker. Hussain's took 4 for already in this innings. What do we think, Mounty?
Set off for Ross Taylor to score a farewell 100, isn't it? Save the game.
You can but hope. You can but hope.
I would have had Bangladesh to win that from this position normally. But yeah, I think Taylor will have one last swan song.
Hurrah. One last hurrah.
And get him to safety. They don't lose many of them, do they, New Zealand? I can't remember them.
Not really, no.
Many of any test matches at home. Except not to Bangladesh.
Well, yeah, definitely not to Bangladesh, bloody hell. Si, what are you predicting for the rest of this game?
I think Bangladesh are going to do it. I think they'll make hard work of it, and they'll be chasing a score of probably about 120, and they'll probably get about 6 or 7 down, but I think they might just edge it. I would like to mention, I don't know if any of you have seen the review from the Bangladesh bowler, and it was just effectively just dug out of Yorker, nowhere near the pad, straight off the middle of the bat, and they reviewed it. And he didn't just review it, it was their last review, and they burnt it. It wasn't just, we might as well review it anyway. It was their last review that they burnt on one that went just straight down the middle of the bat.
Fair play to him. I mean, I did see it, and I can't get over it, but I guess fair play. They're still winning the game as it stands currently. Looks like they might pull off a famous win. The other big game out there is South Africa, India. Obviously, India won the first test. Quite an interesting second test, I think it's fair to say. India managed 202. That was it all out. 50 from Rahul, 46 from Ashwin. Great spell from Marco Jansen, 431. And there was 3 for there for Dwayne Olivier and Rabada as well. I don't just realise Maharaj got a whole 1 over there. South Africa only managed 229, though, in reply. 62 for Keegan Peterson, who I was quite impressed with, I've got to say. 51 for Bavuma. Wickets there. Shardul Fakur, 7 for 61, which is a fair effort. And then India, well, 85 for 2. I mean, you'd say it's probably quite an average start, but by England standards, that's an absolutely superb start. And to be honest, by the standards of this game, it's not a bad start at all. Rahul and Agarwal both out. But Pujara and Rahane must be under a lot of pressure. Kohli missed out because of a back spasm. One of them two is surely due to be dropped, I guess, unless they drop Bihari at 5. But they're under a lot of pressure, you would say. Can they build on this? It's only, I keep forgetting, it's only the second day and we're into the third innings already. I mean, what do you think, Si? Do you think it's South Africa's turn now, or?
I think India will win it from here. I think they'll get a decent total. South Africa have got a long tail with Jansen at 7. He looks decent cricketer. He's not a test match number 7. New wicketkeeper batsman in at 6. I think the batting looks a bit light for South Africa, but they bowled so well on the first day. I also read that I think it was the 7th fastest, I don't know how they judge this, but the 7th fastest pitch in history. So it was absolutely flying through. The speed gun didn't show it flying through, but it just looked like it was flying through, kind of thing. But I thought South Africa bowled brilliantly on the first day. India did quite well to get to 200. But I think from here, I can see India scoring a decent total, and I can't see South Africa fourth innings chasing much with that batting lineup. It looks weak without de Kock and with Jansen at seven and Rabada at eight, Maharaj at nine. It's a long tail. It's an England tail.
It is an England tail, that is for certain. Mounty, what do you reckon?
Yeah, much the same as Swifty. South Africa missed the boat when they had India 200 all out and didn't make a massive first inning score. I think India won't bat as badly again, and will win reasonably comfortably, I think.
Yeah.
Although, that said, when we're on about, well, we're not on about it, but I'll start on it. South Africans who come over and play for us, somebody like Dean Elgar, somebody who we do, because he batted brilliantly in the second innings in the first test. Mm. He's a sort of opening bat who we're missing.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Wouldn't we all love a Dean Elgar went instead of anyone who's English? Yeah. Yeah, I was going to try and pinpoint one, and I just thought, no, there's no point, is there? There really is no point. So that's the international cricket going on. Obviously, the Big Bash is happening, but COVID has, well, gone wild. I mean, I'm pretty sure the Melbourne Stars may as well be playing a North Staff's Prem team, really, because they've got that many people in, filling in. I mean, watching cricket where you take a wicket, but you can't celebrate, is a little bit of an interesting one as well, to say the least. Pierce Scorchers, though, absolutely flying at the top. I think they've only lost one game out of their 29 points. Flying ahead. Big win today as well over Sydney Sixers, who were in second. Bloody hell, Peter got a bat today. We didn't actually face a ball, so I won't mention that. But he did win player of the match the other game. Won't talk about his game for 30 or four overs today, although, to be fair, it mustn't have been a massive scoring game looking at it. But yeah, Perth Scorchers flying at the top. Looks like it'll be Sixers obviously going through with them. You'd probably go Sydney Thunder as well, and then sort of a bit of a bunching between Hurricanes, Heat, Renegades, Stars and Strikers as you go down. Anyone particularly impressed you, or any of the English lads that you're thinking have shown that they've got that sort of extra level of quality, or maybe not got that level of quality, Si?
Yeah, Mahmood's looked really good. He's got really sharp. He's hitting 90 mile an hour constantly, really hurrying the batsman. He's looked really good. Laurie Evans started off pretty well, got a low score today, but he's looked decent in general. Duckett's had a decent knock. English lad's looking all right. Joe Clark's been really good throughout as well. Could do with some of them maybe in the test side, but very different game. I've enjoyed watching it until COVID's hit, and it's kind of made a bit of a farce with the teams missing out on loads of players. It's been a decent tournament so far, and a few decent young and experienced English lads. Tamar Mills looked really good as well.
Yeah, very impressed as always by Mills. Mounty, anyone for you? I mean, Joe Clark, great, doing great stuff, to be fair to him. Let's be honest, if he hadn't I'd been involved in that WhatsApp chat, which, I mean, sounds like local league cricket, doesn't it, really? If you hadn't been involved in that WhatsApp chat that's now infamous, I think it's pretty likely that you'd have probably played for England by now. Anyone that stands out to you?
I think much the same as Swifty. The English lads haven't done their sort of prospects any harm, have they? I mean, Clark's clearly a very fine player. I mean, not such a strong right ball side with the likes of Hales and Duckett and Patel and these fellas. Ricky Wrestles, who obviously was there for a good while before he went to Sonny Longton.
Sonny Longton.
I mean, it's good for sort of English cricket to get sort of our second string almost having experience playing in these franchise tournaments. In terms of who's impressed me, like you say, the English lads seem to be the standout ones. Obviously, the main Aussies seem to be playing for the Test side, Smith and the bowlers. So I don't know the quality of the Aussie players is as high as it has been in the past. It was a good tournament still. As you say, it descended into farce a bit with COVID.
Yeah, very true. I think, sadly, that's always going to happen. I guess that's the problem in it at the moment, but people don't want to be bubbled up, bubbled up to the extent they were, so that's what's going to happen. I think one of the coaches the other night said, I think it was a Renegades coach, I think he said, like, Luke, we'll take the win over the Stars, but it's not really been the proper game we expected. It's not the greatest thing for the competition, but it's better than not playing at all. So I guess it's one of them hits you got to take. Other than that, the only thing I've got to mention is the fact that I'm pretty sure most of the North Staff League is going to be Sri Lankan next year. Anyone surprised by that, or do we think the spinning all-rounder is the way to go these days now with the new rules? I'll go to Mounty first.
Is it? I mean, I'm still trying to sort of get my head around why teams have gone to sort of Sri Lanka. Is it anything to do with visa rule changes after Brexit? Is that why we've sort of moved away from picking Pakistanis?
I honestly don't know. The only thing I think I heard was the fact that it's Sri Lanka. I don't know why this is, but Sri Lanka, you can have them for the full season, whereas Pakistan, you often lose them for the first few and the last few.
Yeah. But that's always been the case.
Yeah, I know. That's why I couldn't see why it'd be
why everybody's suddenly done a about turn this year makes me think it's something to do with Brexit, but, you know.
Never know.
There'll be people who know more about it than me, or probably rant on you at Twitter about it.
probably.
It'll be interesting. It'll be a change for the league. It'd be interesting to see how they go.
Definitely. Si, what do you make of the signings? Anyone stood out to you yet, or?
Yeah, it makes sense to go with a spinning all-rounder with the new restrictions. Batting is your premium now. You're not restricted on how many balls you can face, but you are on bowling-wise. So, yeah, it makes sense to go for that spinning option. I don't know too much about any of them. I've seen some stats that some of them have averaging really high, so you'd expect to see some big scores made by these pros, but that's why they're paid the big bucks. Mountain, I don't seem to need to worry about that too much in the depth of Div 6 and Div 7, but we'll enjoy looking at the scorecards of the big boys in the Prem and 1 and 2 throughout the season, I'm sure.
We don't have first team managers down at our lowly level, do we? anyone who wants to come on and explain to us what a first team manager does and why they are needed in local league cricket, you're more than welcome to. Because we can't even get fucking umpires. Although we do have Mountie, fair play. I'll take that back. But yeah, we struggle to get 11.
Umpire for your record score, Ash.
Exactly, mate. Exactly.
You'd be open to batting for England if I was umpiring every.
That's what I need, mate. Exactly. Just what I need. Right, I hate to say, but our Zoom meeting's about to run out, and we're either going to upset someone or we're going to start moaning again, so I think it's a great place to leave it. So big thank you, Si and Mountie, for joining me as always.
Cheers Ash,
very enjoyable.
Always enjoyable, and it even when England is shit. As always, big shout out to Woodstock, big shout out to Cardiac Risk and the Young, please support them. I think we might hopefully have a couple of prizes coming up from Woodstock, and also maybe from a couple of pros that we're going to use to raise some money, hopefully, for Cardiac Risk and the Young. So keep an eye out for that. And a big thank you for listening. Have a good start to your new year. Don't bother doing any stupid New Year's resolutions. I mean, Aid keeps claiming that he's not going to drink and he's not going to eat shit, but I'm pretty sure I've seen him do both this weekend. So you can tell how that one's going. See you in a bit, and we'll be back soon.
Looking for a new cricket equipment partner for yourself or your club can sometimes be tricky. With so many options to choose from, how do you make the right choice? When you want quality, value and service, there really is only one place to start. For more than a decade, Woodstock Cricket have been producing award-winning, high-performance cricket bats from their Shropshire workshop. Matched with their classy soft goods, luggage and accessories, Woodstock Cricket really do tick all the boxes. Get in touch with Woodstock Cricket and find out why many loyal clubs, players and international customers can't be wrong at info@woodstockcricket.co.uk.
Down at Third Man, the cricket podcast, proudly supported by Woodstock Cricket.